Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin, you're listening to Up North News.
Nurses with UW Health are seeking union recognition. One of them visits with us to talk about the struggle for better working conditions. Dunn County voters are being asked if there should be a national health insurance plan. And State Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler says with a state as closely divided as Wisconsin, there's no let up in these 48 days until the midterms. This is Up North News for Wednesday, September 21st. And if it's Wednesday, it must be time to play Dem Cooley Boys. Luke.
September was still playing and I was trying to get it to stop. I'm sorry.
Do you want to start that clip again? Why don't you start that one again? Forget that this is live radio. We'll fix it in post. Here we go. This is Up North News for Wednesday, September 21st. And if it's Wednesday, it must be time to play them Cooley Boys. Hey, folks, let's spend some time with friends up north. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is along Green Bay. Kirk Bankstead is making friends all over Lake Minocqua. Luke Mathers has been known to go skinny dipping in Lake Monona. And Pat Kreitler's pontoon is coming off Lake Wasota this weekend because winter is coming. Wherever you are, welcome. You're up north. Hi, friends.
Hello.
You brought it back, Pat. You brought it back.
Just for you, man. The Wednesday night theme is back. And, you know, it's how people know you. They also know how much you like music. And so in the short time we have before our guest arrives, we thought it's not enough just to play September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's time to have a lyrics contest. So welcome you two to my Earth, Wind, and Fire lyrics contest. I'm going to read off a lyric. We're going to see which one of you can give the song first. Question number one. We come together on this special day, sing our message loud and clear.
Wow.
I thought Kristen would be singing it by now.
It's like a Christmas song.
We come together on this special day, sing our message loud and clear. Luke, give it to him.
But solidarity forever.
Luke, give it to him.
Fizzle, my
spizzle
whizzle.
The correct answer was, that's the way of the world. All right, let's try Earth, Wind, and Fire lyrics question number two. This song. Every thought is a dream rushing by in a stream, bringing life to our kingdom of doing. Which Earth, Wind, and Fire has this lyric? Every thought is a dream rushing by in a stream, bringing life to our kingdom of doing.
I'm kind of feeling like I'm really not that up on my Earth, Wind, and Fire. As much as I enjoy it, the lyrics maybe escape me a little bit. So I'm deferring to Kirk on this one.
Luke, let's give him the answer.
Oh, yeah.
I never know the lyrics. I just sing along.
And, of course, was fantasy. All right. We'll do one more. Midnight creeps so slowly into hearts of men who need more than they can get. Daylight deals a bad hand to a woman who has laid too many bets. The mirror stares you in the face and says, baby, it don't work. You say your prayers, though you don't care. You dance and shake the hat. You know, I'm reading it like Vincent Price.
Thriller. Or like Hotel California.
Midnight creeps so slowly into hearts of men who need more than they can get. Yeah, you don't have this at all, dear, right?
Oh, man. Come on. This is...
And you've heard this song 1,000 times or more. Play it, Luke.
Play it, Luke. Midnight creeps so slowly into hearts of men who need more than they can get.
Boogie Wonderland.
Who listened to these lyrics? They're just out of nowhere compared to the song.
Let me give you the answer. Not me even. But I thought if we're going to play September, we should have a little fun with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I thought, does anybody know any of the lyrics to any of these? Or did we just dance and groove to them? And this was my attempt to remind us all that there's so many lyrics we still don't know.
Well, and some music is lyric driven and some music is driven by the actual tune. And I think Earth, Wind and Fire is more tune with the lyrics like in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Bob Dylan is more about the poetry and the music is like a secondary thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you talked about midnight creeping across the land, a part of me was like, maybe I should have listened to the lyrics a little bit more. Like they were actually something other than somebody singing really high and grooving really, really, really loud.
Don't you now, even to this day, a song will come on and what car commercial was it that the radio they wanted to say was so clear that they were playing Elton John's Rocket Man? And that's when they all went, oh, burning up his fuse up here tonight. And I was just like, I never knew that. I never knew. But that's so I can't pick on the youngins like Luke who listen to this modern music. And I go, you don't know the words to that, but. Guess what? We didn't either. And we started pretty basic. We started with she loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it just got more complex from there. We're going to take a break in just a second. We're going to gather ourselves. We're going to forget our utter failure at remembering Earth, Wind and Fire lyrics. And we're going to talk to Nurse Becky Schachter of she works with UW Health, I believe, and is looking for union representation from SEIU Wisconsin. And we're going to talk about the working conditions that nurses are facing. We know they're challenging, but they could be better. And that's part of what we're going to get at this hour. And, whatever else I can possibly surprise these two very patient people with. We'll be back. You're up north. This is Up North News for a Wednesday morning. Pat Crightwell, Kirk Bangstead, Kristen Lyerly, and Becky Schachter will talk to us in just a minute about nursing at UW Health. Something that we've covered from a news perspective lately about the nurses seeking to have some union recognition. So it's not necessarily for full-on collective bargaining, but at least encouraging the discussions that can better help their working conditions. And so, Kirk, you reached out and helped provide us with Becky, a nurse, as our guest. So why don't you help set up and introduce Becky for us?
Yeah, so, I mean, this all started last week when I was talking to so many people about how the current campaigns are just mudslinging each other. And then somebody came to me and was like, didn't Governor Evers just do something really awesome and brought together the nurses at UW Health and the SEIU and the administration at hospitals and kind of like helped avert a strike, which would have hurt all of Wisconsin because nobody doesn't want to have nurses, you know, when they're in trouble. So he's like, I'm like, why aren't we hearing more about this? And so I was like, let's talk about this on this radio show, especially for folks in northern Wisconsin that are potentially out of the loop a little bit more. So yeah, I mean, this is a lead up, you know, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You know, it's like, hundreds of Madison nurses seeking to be recognized as a union canceled a three-day work strike at the last minute after Governor Tony Evers called the health workers and their bosses to Maple Bluff over the weekend to hash out a settlement. I mean, that's the news I want to hear 45 days before the election. So, Becky, you are representing UW Health and the nurses. Can you tell us more about what happened over the last couple of weeks and seemingly why a crisis was averted?
Yeah, so we had come to the decision that we were going to have to strike. And this was a decision that was a long time in the making. This was not a spontaneous, last minute thing. We have been for 3 years trying to sit down with administration about some really important issues that are affecting the community, mostly patient nurse ratios that have become unsafe, tons of experienced nurses leaving UW Health, and on and on and on. And for 3 years, we had been told repeatedly, like, no, you can't sit with us. That's not going to happen. And so we came to this decision, and then mediation started happening, which was something that none of us had ever been involved in before. And it's a very long, complicated process between, you know, the nurse delegates and the union and then administration. And then during that process, Governor Evers was involved, and then he ultimately invited everyone to his house for actually 2 different days. And he was just instrumental in having us come to an agreement that we could all feel really good about. His leadership was just outstanding. I mean, never in a million years did we think that a politician would be so involved personally and help both sides come to an agreement. It was incredible.
Wow. So I want kind of Kristen to chime in on this more than me, because she's an OBGYN herself, but can you tell us more about what you personally went through in the pandemic and what you had been prompted? I want to get more of the backstory on why the situation for nurses had become untenable. And why, I mean, it's not like nurses are the type of people that want to strike. I mean, you guys are like the ones who want to help. You guys are willing to take almost anything slung at you in order to help people. So, I mean, obviously the breaking point like this must have been extreme. And I kind of want to hear more about, you know, those extremes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, COVID certainly didn't help, but the problems existed pre-COVID. And we had actually, right before COVID started, we had built quite a momentum with nurses really being excited about trying to get our union recognized again. And then when COVID happened, we sort of stepped back because, you know, we felt as nurses, we really needed to focus on the pandemic. Yeah, so my friends in the inpatient, so in the hospital, I heard horror story after horror story about what was happening during COVID. You know, the whole issue at the beginning of not having enough masks, having to rewear masks from patient room to patient room, just not having enough staff. You know, when you have someone dying of COVID, that pretty much takes your whole shift. I mean, you're there, you are gowned up, isolated. And then if you're having like 3 other patients that you're supposed to be in charge of at the same time, you know, that's just not safe for anyone. But yeah, I mean, part of why we came to this decision of, you know, unifying and trying to get them to listen to us was that, I mean, patient safety is the top priority. And as nurses, we are trained to be advocates. That's like one of the biggest things. And so we were at a point where we can't let things go on like this. And since we lost our contract in 2014, we have seen so many nurses leave. There have been so many changes to policies and workflows, and We just felt that something needed to be done to help our community.
There are so many things that I want to say to you, Becky, as a physician who works very closely with nurses, and we work with some of the same people. Let's give a shout out to Dr. Greg Bills.
Who I work with.
He's my guy. So, I mean, I know how you're tortured by Dr. Bills every day. No, but seriously, I mean, the work that you do, it, like Kirk said earlier, nurses go into this profession because they care and they know that their job is to take care of people. And I think what happens is administration takes advantage of you because they know that you are going to do everything you can to make things work on behalf of your patients. And that's when you get stretched thin and staffing becomes an issue and your personal schedules become less stable because they're switching you around from this place to that place. Mm-hmm. So can you help us understand a little bit better? I know what your job and inpatients jobs are kind of like, but can you help us understand a little bit better what some of the major stressors are with like staffing and hours and numbers of patients and all of those things? Give us an understanding of how your jobs actually work.
So for example, in the clinic, so you're asking like, what does my day look like kind of, or?
Yeah, help our audience understand. Like, you know, we all presume that we know what a nurse does, but what does a nurse really do?
Yeah. Well, I'll speak to a clinic nurse in particular, because I think a lot of people really, even hospital nurses, don't understand really what a clinic nurse does, because there are a lot of roles that are sort of behind the scenes. I have a schedule of patients that I see every day. So patients that are coming in for like their first OB appointment, where they meet with a nurse and we go over education, kind of what pregnancy is like. So those patients might be on my schedule. I have injections, patients coming in for IV fluids or to check their incision. So I have a daily schedule. And then on top of that, I have to return phone calls to patients, contact patients with their lab results, do disability paperwork. The physicians and NPs will call us in to assist with something. So there's just a lot of things that patients don't necessarily even know what they're doing. And there have been a lot of cuts and a lot of nurses that have left. Sometimes they're not even the clinics or the administration won't even fill those positions anymore. They're just like, well, you guys have been dealing with this for so long, so obviously you don't need another nurse here.
It's something that you see in a lot of workplaces, frankly, right, that where they say, we've got to cut things back, and then you have to endure the cutback, and they say, well, you've done all right, so I guess you've made do. So, you know, and it's just that, and again, with my being married to an OBGYN as well, and knowing the role of these clinical nurses, and those days when you're running one short or maybe two short, and it's not just inconvenient for the OBGYN, certainly for the nurses, but for the patients as well, with the waiting and everything else. So I guess the way I want to put it back is not asking you to speak for administration, but to give people a feel for where this whole back and forth has been. It's not so much about malice that they, you know, want to make your jobs more difficult, but that they're operating from a budget standpoint, and they feel that these are the cutbacks that they have to deal with and impose on you.
Yeah, I think that is where they're coming from. You know, I don't think that there's necessarily malice on anyone's part, but you know, businesses are businesses, and they need to operate as such. And so, I think that has been what's driven a lot of these cuts and changes, I think, is money. But I'm really optimistic with this agreement that we've come to, because we finally have a seat at the table and we have our union voice back. And so we are going to be actually in the next couple of weeks, we're sending out surveys to the nurses to write down what issues they feel are most important that we need to address immediately. And we're gonna start doing that, and we're gonna make changes. And it's just ultimately gonna help all of us.
Right. And that's what this comes down to for people who are wondering, well, what do you need a union to do that for? Why can't the nurses just explain what the situation is? But again, in so many other workplaces, and certainly the case here as well, it's one thing for, you know, an employee here and an employee there to say something. It's even, you know, one thing to have a strongly worded letter by, you know, half of the workforce. But when you can have that union that helps bring people together, streamline an argument, speak with one voice, are you saying that's where you feel the conditions are, is that you need that stronger, almost singular voice on behalf of nurses?
Yeah. Kirk, did you want to chime in?
Oh, no, I was, I didn't know you were on the chat. I just wanted
to. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Go for it. Yeah. Answer the question.
So since our contract ended in 2014, we've had this thing called shared governance, which we were told was the was now our new voice. It was going to take the place of our union voice. And it just has not been effective in the way we want it to be. Not that it's all bad, but ultimately when we have these meetings, it's still run by the managers. The managers determine the agenda. So
it really is just about making it more of a collaborative process.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what we're shooting for here. Okay, so Becky Schachter's with us, and we will discuss more about trying to bring better working conditions to nurses there and across Wisconsin right after this break. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
We are joined this hour by Becky Schachter, who is an OBGYN nurse with UW Health. I'm married to an OBGYN. Kirk is dating an OBGYN. Kristen Lyerly is an OBGYN. So we're going to open up a new weekly show called Your Uterus Is Not New to Us.
I love it.
I'm just going to make it an insider industry chat every week.
Yes, finally.
Finally. She's been pushing that for so long.
Have you been waiting to say that on air years?
Your uterus
is not new to us. That's brilliant, man.
I'm making a t-shirt with that.
Returning now to our serious topic of labor conditions. Kristen, we were chatting during the break about how that Becky's mentioned a couple of times a contract that expired in 2014. And yet one of the core issues here and the reason that this is still kind of in progress, shall we say, is the whole question of what role does Act 10 play in all of this? And so, Kristen, that's what you and I were talking about, Act 10 versus the contract that went till 2014, right?
Right. So back in the day, before I trained in medical school, I was a medical assistant at the UW, and I was a member of the union. And it was a strong union. It was an important union. I mean, that was a long time ago. But Act 10 happened in 2011. Your union contract expired in 2014. Then it was shared governance. It's all kind of confusing, and the entire political landscape has changed with regards to collective bargaining over the last 15 years. How, give us a, if you can, a little historical context of where we were then and how we got here.
Yeah, and so I have actually been a nurse at UW Health for 25 years total. So I was there when we had the union, and I was, a union member and active then. And so just to kind of tell you like what I feel some of the differences are. So back when we did have a union, definitely things felt much more collaborative, especially with the relationship between nurses and management. And it really seemed like we were more of a family, and we had real impact and influence on what was affecting us and patients. And since the contract ended and we've started shared governance, there's definitely been this clear divide between management and nurses, which has really felt awful, to be honest. Speaking about Act 10, I'm clearly not a legal expert, but our contract was up in 2014. We kept being told, we're not allowed to have a union anymore. It was also confusing. I think everyone was kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess we can't have a union. But then now in recent years, more and more legal minds have looked into this, and including Attorney General Josh Call, who his opinion is that actually because we are this strange type of organization called a public authority. Yeah, that's very complicated. But anyway, his opinion and many other lawyers have said that actually University Health can recognize our union. They're just choosing not to. And so with all of that, now that's sort of what helped us build this momentum and really start working towards this. And so now our agreement that we've come up with UW Health is that we can, if effective immediately, we can become members of our union. And they have agreed, the administration has agreed to have these meet and discuss meetings with us effective, you know, immediately to start talking about the issues. And we have agreed, both sides have agreed, that we are going to have an expedited process with the Wisconsin Employee Relations Work.
The Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission.
Yes. That we're asking them to recognize that we are covered under the Wisconsin Peace Act. We should have their ruling by the end of October. And we're confident that they will agree with us and with Attorney General Josh Call in that, yes, we are covered. And at that point, we will hold an election, and our steps towards real collective bargaining will continue.
Because it had been the administration's view is, you know, well, because of Act 10, we're not even allowed to, you know, discuss anything that might be related to unions when, as you note, as being part of a quasi-public private, you know, group called the Health Authority, you're not public employees in that actual sense of the word. And so it was, I think, really good leadership on the part of the governor to say, how about if we let the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission study this whole matter for you? And I think it's a real credit to the nurses that, you know, you didn't just say, no, we're going to make this point, even if we have to do this 3-day strike. You really let cooler heads prevail.
Yeah. I wanted to chime in, and I'm so glad, Kristen, you started this segment off asking about Act 10, because notice what's happened since Act 10. This has been a decade ago, and we have droves of nurses leaving the profession because their unions have been taken away, and we have droves of teachers leaving the profession because their union was taken away from them. Nurses and teachers, I mean, like the oldest professions in the book that help people, that we need as a society. And those two professions, which we need so desperately, are running away from Wisconsin. So, I mean, if history can teach us anything, it is that we have to have unions. We have to let the small voices who shape our children and protect our health be able to fight, you know, to have normal lives, to not have to be overworked like slaves, and to be able to have a voice in their own destiny. And I'm so glad this is happening. It's happening around the country, right? I mean, what else? Aren't these nurses unionizing everywhere? What's going on with the rest of the country here?
Yeah, so just last week, there were approximately 15,000 nurses in Minnesota that were striking, and we actually got to know some of them. So in the weeks leading up to our potential strike, we had this one amazing nurse who we now call Minnesota Mary. She's like our mascot. So she took time out of her busy schedule, you know, getting ready for their strike, to do a Zoom meeting with us. And she was such a great speaker. It was very emotional. And she was in full support of us. And so then we actually also sent a group of nurses the first day of their strike, took a caravan over there and joined the picket line with them. This whole process has been so empowering, and just seeing all of these other, you know, railroad workers, you know, they were going to go on strike, but it sounds like that, you know, they didn't have to in the end. Workers like at Starbucks, you know, this is a huge movement right now, and people are frustrated. People are speaking up, and we're starting to get people to listen. So like with our situation, really, when you think it is like, we were actually just 6 weeks ago, we were told like, nope, you're never going to have a union. Like we're not going to sit down with you. It's not going to happen. And we were so powerful. We were so united. So many nurses joined this movement, and we're just so happy with what we ended up, you know, agreeing to. We didn't have to strike because, of course, none of us wanted to do that. That was, you know, the last resort. But this is huge. Like, this is huge to show workers that when you stand together, you can make changes.
So I have a question for you about how this relates to other groups of nurses. This is not a problem in Madison alone. How can other, I mean, I was just talking with one of my friends who's a doula up here in Green Bay, and she was talking about the turnover in nursing here in this smaller community where we don't have the same resources that you do in a bigger city like Madison. How can what you're doing translate to other places? Are there opportunities for people to put their voices together? People who work in nursing and education, where it's service, you go into it because you care, but you're also, you need that additional ability to use your unified voice. So what would you recommend? How can others do it?
I don't know if I have the perfect answer, but I mean, you can give anyone you know my contact information, and I will help get them set up with, you know, our union, which is SEIU. You know, they would be happy to reach out and try to figure out how can these smaller communities organize. What do they need to do to also become members of a union? We're willing. Yeah, you know, have them reach out to unions, specifically SEIU, just because that's ours. But you know, once you become active in this labor movement, it's a family, and we support other unions, other workers. Like, we're all here for each other because we're all advocating.
So, Becky, I wanted to talk to you because what you're saying is about nurses and about workers, and yet the word union and labor is like a boogeyman for the Republican Party. But this isn't about politics for you.
Right.
It's about your life, right? Yeah. I mean, it's luckily, now I'm getting back to where we started. You know, Governor Evers brought you guys to the table, brought management to the table, brought you guys to his house. And he didn't, he didn't bring the reporters there.
Nope.
You know, he was like, we need to get you guys to talk to each other. And so we can solve these problems. He didn't bring reporters. He didn't necessarily want to make this partisan either, from what I can gather. Just imagine, I mean, given that labor is in and of itself a boogeyman, and it shouldn't be, it should be workers' rights. Like, can you imagine what it would have been like to try to get Ron DeSantis to bring to get around the table? A lightning rod politician is more about performance art than about solving problems. I mean, can you imagine trying to achieve anything in that situation?
Yeah, we were so fortunate to have Governor Evers, and yeah, there was. One day for 4 hours in different, he was in a different location, I believe. And then ultimately said, hey, you guys, let's just come to my house. Like, let's hash this out here. And, you know, one of the nurses there was like, you know, after like 8 hours in or something, happened to ask him, hey, do you have any Diet Cokes? And he like went and got her a Diet Coke. I mean, it's like, you know, just a normal guy that was doing his job of helping these two sides come to an agreement. It was
yeah.
Amazing.
I don't see Ron DeSantis doing that. I don't. Kristen, you got one to wrap up with?
I just wonder, what was that moment for you where you were like, it was the catalyst moment where you knew that this was the right direction you were headed in? Was it a person? Was it a thing? Was it an event? What was that thing?
I mean, it was a lot of things, but probably the catalyst moment was when we were having a staff meeting to talk about these surveys that they give us, which is another part of shared governance. They give out these surveys every few months where we're supposed to answer questions like, do you feel administration listens to you? How, like, do you feel energized to come to work each day, blah, blah, blah. And so we had a staff meeting just to talk about those questions. And so the manager asked, you know, why do you guys think you answered these so negatively? No one was saying anything for a long time. Finally, I piped up and honestly said why I thought people answered it that way. Then the next day, I got an email that I was called into my manager's office, meet with her and her supervisor, and they basically lectured me about...
I could see that. I could see that being a touch point. Do you want to hang around for just a bit? We'll ask you one more question on the backside of the break here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Becky. Sure. Let's do that. We'll be back in just a bit. You're up north.
Which I've never heard before, but apparently.
There's a place. You know, there's only so many times you can tell people to stand by, and yet they continue to prattle on. And if you heard some of what that was right before we came back, you know, my apologies. It was completely out of context. Becky, the break got in the way before we could wrap up our final question with you, but you were the one that actually spoke up and thought you were going to be disciplined, you know, for speaking up. And that to you was kind of the moment that, you know, this is not something you can let go when it comes to the fight for better working conditions.
Yeah, exactly. And it was clear to me that the purpose of the staff meeting, which they said was to get our feedback on how we feel, they really didn't want our feedback, clearly, or they wanted answers that they wanted to hear. And so I had this meeting. I wasn't allowed to bring anyone with me, which, you know, that's part of our agreement now, is that we are working with administration to have like a peer-to-peer support process, like when we, you know, had our union before. And yeah, so it was just clear that this was disciplinary and that I was being told to be a role model for my peers, and that there's a time and a place to speak up, which was ludicrous because that was the time and place. That's what they said. So that was sort of the last straw where I was like, we can't let this go on. You know, how can we advocate for our patients and for ourselves in this kind of environment? You know, we need to do something.
Good for
and
you.
Ironically, you became a bigger role model and you found the right time and the right place to speak up. And we are so grateful to you for doing that because it makes a huge difference throughout our community.
Well, thank
we really
you.
Do. We appreciate it, Becky. Thanks so much. We hope we get some really good news from an update from you before too terribly long. But thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'd love to come back.
Okay. Can't wait. Thanks, Becky. I think that, well, again, this whole notion of if, for all the people that tell us, you know, that business knows best and supply and demand and market forces, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. When you've got something like a nurse's shortage, and these are quality healthcare professionals, why wouldn't you want to be the market leader then? Instead of looking for ways to make conditions worse and tell them to make do with less, why wouldn't you want to be the place that says, hey, if you're a nurse or whatever position we're talking about, you want to be here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's you can nickel and dime yourself to death from a corporate standpoint, whether you're a public-private health entity or private sector. And I would hope that this worker shortage all across the spectrum would inform more employers in that way.
Well, and you know what Becky didn't get into, because she's a clinic nurse, nurses who work in the hospital, even before COVID, they would shift around these nurses, the work hours, they would bring people in, they would try to staff according to how many patients were on the unit. But because they staffed so tightly, nurses were always feeling overburdened, even before COVID. We had a nursing shortage before COVID. But now, burnout is at an all-time high amongst nurses, and 50% of nurses are actively considering leaving the field. This is at a time when we don't have enough nurses to begin with. So what they're doing in Madison will hopefully sustain our nursing population, make them healthier, so they can continue to take care of us. This comes back to benefit all of us. if
right, there's the spillover effect is that it's not that you're going to see unionized nurses all across rural Wisconsin, but they'll see what's happening in those larger markets and say, again, if I don't want some of my best people leaving for Madison, maybe I need to step up here. Mm-hmm. Kirk, the tap room is going to be closing after this weekend. What are you going to do with what do you do with all that spare time?
Well, there may or may not be an election happening in November, Pat. So the whole point of the Monaco Brewing Company is activism through beer. It's not necessarily beer first and activism second. So obviously I make a living doing it and I want to sell beer, but this is the most important. This is a culmination of about 2 years of really hard work. And so I'm going to be doing my damnedest to make sure that Wisconsin doesn't fall, our democracy doesn't fall. And we have to elect Evers, we have to elect Barnes, and we have to make sure that we got enough Democrats in the Assembly and the Senate that they can't veto a guy who's our last hope keeping a democracy in Wisconsin. So that's going to be, I'm going to be doing that after the tap room closes.
And did you catch what was key in what she said was, this is about having conversations. Actually have that conversation so that management is hearing what the employees want. And earlier in the show, we talked about the Dunn County Board. Having that conversation that led unanimously to put that healthcare referendum on the ballot. What you're seeing when we talk about attacking democracy, election integrity, is they're looking to not have conversations. Ron DeSantis wouldn't have a conversation with the nurses. He'd look for a reason to fire them. That's the difference between governing and ruling. Some people just want to rule. There will be no conversations. When you're governing, you can actually have those conversations that lead to something more productive.
That's the whole point. I mean, that's the whole reason why people feel so disenfranchised with what's happening in the world right now. That's how Trump got elected. People look at the leaders and they think, that leader doesn't represent me. The whole system is broken. I don't have a voice. I want somebody from outside. And if you look at Tim Michaels, and if you Google Michaels, the first thing you see is Tim Michaels, outsider. That's the number one thing that he is promoting. And he is an outsider because he's from Connecticut. But
But he's no political outsider. But that's
you're so right, Pat. There is always a negotiation to be had. Coming back to unions versus I'm the president of the Monaco Brewing Company. We are told there are certain ratios of labor costs to profits, that those are benchmarks. Those are just benchmarks. And that's what people in management get it in their head that this, we have to just do this because these are the things we've been taught in business school. We can always break that stuff, especially when people are leaving the professions in droves. Yes. In order to exist in society, we have to keep workers happy and healthy, and you would get so much more productivity out of that if they are happy and healthy. And so just like government, just like business, just like anything, the conversations have to happen and we have to work through hard issues together.
Right? I got one more lyric contest for you, and I promise this one is not Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Duran Duran. Is it Duran Duran?
No, it's not. But this one, I thought about this for Kirk. How do we sign off from a conversation with Kirk? And I thought of this song lyric. The beer was empty and our tongues were tired and running out of things to say.
Whoa.
I didn't cue this one up for Luke, so he can't play the clip. Dan Fogelberg, same old Lang Syne.
This is like the yacht rock song for New Year's Eve.
It is totally. It's the anthem. The beer was empty and our tongues were tired and running out of things to say. Why wasn't that our sign off on the Wednesday night's show when you could drink beer during the show?
We can't drink beer now. You should have told me. Really.
Yeah, I didn't get that memo.
Let me rephrase that. The Bloody Marys were empty and our tongues were tired. Because this is a morning show. Thank you, friends. Let's do it again next week.
All right.
Have a wonderful weekend. And as goes Wisconsin, up next on many of these fine radio stations. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.